CBSI and the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. A Reuters from Lima, Peru. Hundreds of miners blocked a stretch of Peru's inner oceanic highway near the border with Brazil after a clash between police and protesters the day before left at least one dead and more than a dozen injured. The protests in this Amazonian region began in response to alleged abuses committed by police officers during an operation against illegal mining. This points to what you said, Professor. The Amazon is more than one state. It also points to violence again in Peru, where we have talked about recently the failure of the Castillo administration and government to provide confidence to the people that there is law enforcement in the land and not just an oligarchy or back-scratching. But this violence in the Amazon, is this something new or is this an eruption again because of the Lima problems?
John, it's a great question. And this is really part of a longstanding story and in a complex story. But within Peru, of course, itself, you have three major zones. You have the coastal zone, including Peru's major city, Lima. You have basically the mountainous zone, which roughly runs through the center west from north to south. And then really about the half of Peru on the eastern side is the jungle. And so that mountainous and jungle region have long been neglected by the politicians in Lima. And part of that neglect has been a variety of different types of criminal activity. And probably most famously, we think of the terrorists that operated in that, economically and politically neglected highland, the Sendero Luminoso, Shining Path. Or if you dig in a little bit farther, the role that they and others had with the with cocoa growing that existed there, the region that's called the Vrime, the Apurimac, Eni, and Mantaro River Valley. However, there are really three big types of criminal activity that you find throughout Peru. Illegal logging, the growing of cocoa and production of cocaine, and illegal mining. Now, those activities are morphing. So in the case that you talked about, it was in a part in the center east called Ucali, where there's a small city, Pucallpa, among others. In places like Ucali, you have a big illicit timber industry. We just were talking about that with the Amazon, which smuggles into Brazil, among other places. And then, of course, you also have a illegal drug industry. If you go to the north, for example, up towards the border of Colombia in the Putumayo River area, you have a relatively new but greatly expanded cocoa production. If you go especially to the south, in a place called Madre de Dios, you have a lot of illegal mining. And so what happens again and again is that in these neglected areas with the criminal economy, when the government comes in and actually tries to do something, those who have vested interest in these illicit economies get pretty upset about it. So in this particular case, I believe, again, it was in Madre de Dios where there's also illegal mining, that part of the interoceanic highway. Essentially, the government came in and said, OK, we're going to take away the suction machines and the rafts and the other things that you use for illegal mining. We're going to essentially destroy your illegal economy that you've been living off of. The people, and they probably weren't residents there so much as a combination of residents and people who were actively from other parts of Peru engaged in that criminal economy, pushed back against the government security forces. But it's really exemplar how the government trying to come in and here and there do things to try to control in some way those criminal economies. It's a big problem, and it's a problem in which the local populations are very deeply invested.
Chile, there is a vote this weekend about the new constitution, which I learned from the Washington Post report is very long, 54,000 words compared to the U.S. Constitution of 4,500 words. The polling indicates that it will be rejected by popular vote. The Boric government has said that it will continue to work for changes, reform. That also means working with the present constitution. This rewrite or this re-beginning of the Constitution started with the violence in late 2019. Is there one reason? We have about a couple of minutes, Professor. Is there one reason why it's now being rejected after more than a year of very hard work by a large group of people.
Well, John, in 2019, there was a sense of frustration with the inequalities in Chilean society, and that came to be channeled in this thought that if we just get a new constitution, that will somehow make things better. It was tied to the fact that the old constitution, the 1980 constitution, was had its origins in the era of dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet. And so you had this, 80% of people wanting a new constitution as a form of change. What they got, though, was a group of, who was far to the left, very, very new to Chilean politics. And the document that they came up with, I think, has made a lot of people profound. So there's a certain amount of buyer's remorse here. Now, I would say that the voting right now, there's a lot of uncertainty. So right now, it looks like the no's lead the yeses by about 4 to 12%. But there's still enough of the don't know, about 17%, that there could still be a surprise on September 4th. But I do expect it to be voted down. But as you pointed out, some of the issues that have caused uncomfort, one is an end to the Senate. It would be replaced by something called the Chamber of Regions, which people worry will mean that the lower house will have a lot more power to move very, very quickly. But the key issue between the new social provisions, the environmental provisions, provisions could block mining and development, a sense of giving a greater emphasis to indigenous groups. All of these things together, including some social provisions of gender parity and things like that, it causes not only discomfort for the Chileans, but also economic uncertainty in what was a very successful investor-friendly orientation. And so that buyer's remorse and what this could lead to could cause rejection. But if there's a rejection, then you go into a period of trying to change the Constitution through reform, or at least not changing it at all. And so either yes or no on the Constitution, you will have extended uncertainty and reluctance of investors to invest until they really see what direction Chile's legal structure is going to go in.
Professor Avenelis, U.S. Army War College. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.